Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman. It has been quite the week for us. So I want to explain this first. So this is going to be the Between the Ropes podcast on the road version. At least for one member. That's Mikey, who's on the road for his regular job. So we do apologize. We're not able to do the video portion of the podcast this week simply because Mike is on the road. Plus, I've got to pat myself on the back here because I've been dealing with like a really bad cold. My wife is convinced I had like acute bronchitis, and my death cough is back, and I'm starting to get over it right now. So I'm sucking it up. Hashtag warrior over here. And I'm just going to, you know, bite down and give the people what they want, which is Between the Ropes. I'm going to power through this for the people, okay?
They should give you the Warrior Award, you know, the annual award that WWE has dedicated to a man who was not the nicest guy in the world.
I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating myself for any kind of award. If somebody else wants to say something for me about an award, I mean, that's totally up to you. But, you know, I'm a humble man over here. I just know that, you know, the different things might come up in my life, different obstacles, and I overcome them for the people, for the listeners out there.
It's so humble how you talk about all the hardships you've had and how you are better than everybody else because you have defeated those obstacles and those mountains in your way.
I never said that I was better than anybody else. I just said that I step up to give the people what they want.
But isn't it a little bit implied? Isn't it kind of inferred? Don't we have to infer here that you are saying exactly that?
Well, that's you're putting words in, you know, in this whole situation here. I am not doing that. I just know what the people want, and that's me talking here on the podcast, delivering to them some good quality wrestling discussion. And you know what? No matter what obstacles might be thrown in my way, I'm going to step up. I'm going to fight through them. And, you know, I'm going to do what is, like some people would say, best for business.
I can only imagine when you tell this story to your kids and in future generations that you will tell them about the time that you overcame bird flu, avian bird flu. I had caught it and I was on death's door. And while the government came to shut down my podcast as I was dying, I soldiered on and I told the story of pro wrestling and the news that surrounds it. Right.
Exactly. You know, something like that, you know. So, hey, you know, stories get sold with a little color sometimes. So, you know, you know. You just got to add to it. Speaking of that, I'm going to jump ahead because we've got a bunch of different things we're going to talk about.
I just want to jump in here and say we did consider there was a moment in time where I considered trying to do the live broadcast from my phone while I drove. That was a consideration, but we figured better for my safety that, number one, I don't do that, and number two, I shouldn't drink while I do the podcast this week. That might end up with me in jail.
Yeah, that might. We're not going to get you in trouble with any kind of open containers or anything like that. So, sorry, everybody. No drinking this week. But since we were talking about colorful stories, and we were going to talk about this later on, let's just jump into this right now. So, Vince McMahon has sold the rights to his life story, and TriStar Pictures is going to be doing a film based on his life called Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. Wow, there's a name for you. Hey, I wonder who thought of that one. Some clever marketing team sitting back there. What's the best way we can come up with a title for this? I bet Vince McMahon gave them that title. I bet he did.
Maybe. I don't have a problem with that title. It's better than What a Maneuver.
That's terrible.
You don't like What a Maneuver?
What a Maneuver. I don't like What a Maneuver either. I think both of those are terrible titles. What are they titling the Page documentary?
I can't remember what that one is.
It's a biopic.
It's a biopic. Yeah. I was going to say it's not a documentary. Hold on one second. I'll find out the name of that one. I mean, what else could they have called that? I was trying to... they could have done Unbelievable, which is another catchphrase from Vince McMahon. The Page movie is Fighting
Swipe
with
left.
My Family.
Swipe Left.
Swipe
what
Left.
Was it?
Fighting with My Family.
Fighting with My Family.
Yeah.
Is that even a relevant movie? I get The Rock is doing that, and I'm excited that they're going to highlight the UK wrestling scene with this biopic, but is the Page movie still relevant?
Well, they're going to make it relevant.
I'm just saying, nothing against Page, but we've not seen her on TV in quite some time. I know she's had injury after injury, but it seems to me you make biopics around people who have done things, and I think Paige has accomplished a lot in a short amount of time, but I'm not convinced her wrestling story is biopic worthy yet.
Well, the other thing is about it, I mean, obviously it's going to be based on her life and her family, but I don't know if they were going to do this. I don't know if they were going to actually give the name of the family. It's just going to be based around them. So it's kind of like Vince McMahon. He's selling his life story, but it's going to kind of loosely be based on him, but still be... Here's the thing about this, okay? So Vince McMahon has a say in this because WWE Studios is involved in this picture, and he will have final say on the script and what will be portrayed in this movie. So you can imagine the things that might be omitted and what will make the movie and what kind of spin will be on this movie.
Do you reckon they will include the steroid scandal of the 1990s?
Yes, they will, because it will be Vince McMahon overcoming the big bad government. I guarantee. The little man, everybody's trying to keep me down, but you know what? Vince McMahon overcomes the odds. So Mike Johnson from PW Insider has this column. And now Mike used to work in the entertainment field and still has a lot of ties to that. So Mike has talked to a bunch of different people. And here was what he had wrote about some of the potential spoilers of the movie. And mind you, he says it's already gone through a couple of scripts. And he says it's probably going to go through another total script change. So all of this might be, might not make the movie anyway. But if you read this thing that's on their website, you got to go read this thing. It's crazy just to look at some of the stuff that they have in there and just the spin that they put on this and other stories that they come up with, including, let's see, what was the good one I read from earlier? Okay, so when it comes to what other wrestlers might be involved, this is fantastic, by the way. Here's what Mike writes. In one sequence, the film portrays that Vince found Junkyard Dog as a construction worker, Roddy Piper in jail, Jimmy Snuka as a porn actor, and transformed them into pro wrestlers. And he says, I was also told there is a scene where Vince drives Linda McMahon to Montreal for their anniversary and throws a fit in a French restaurant because he hated their food, leading to the owner coming up. Who was the owner? Oh, that would be Andre the Giant. And by the way, the trip was Vince's way of scouting this giant he has heard of. And the idea was that Vince brings Andre the Giant into the business. And this is all a big ruse to go to Montreal, thinking that his wife's thinking, oh, we're going there for dinner. And he's actually going there to scout this giant that he's heard of.
We are literally going to have a scene in this movie where Vince McMahon scouting Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan is the life embodiment of Superman. He will be flying around in tights, saving children from bad guys and pulling cats from trees. That will be a scene in this movie, it sounds like.
One of the things he has in there, too, was from an earlier part, it says, Gorilla Monsoon is a much bigger character in the film. Explained to me, to Mike Johnson, as being portrayed as what was Pat Patterson, what is the real life version of Pat Patterson of WWE. It says in the early draft, Monsoon ends up on the stand during Vince's steroid trial, playing the role that Hulk Hogan would play in real life. And he was now forced into a situation against him. It says a later draft of the script puts Hogan in that role. And they also have this whole thing where they act like Vince McMahon Sr. didn't pass away until the steroid trial, when he had passed away much earlier, even before the WrestleMania first debuted. So, yeah.
Does it have the part where he goes around and puts all of the territories out of business because he's kind of... Okay. Well, they have a hero again, isn't he?
Well, they have the early stage where Vince implores to his father that the audience doesn't care about the wrestling, but really wants drama and theatrics. His father doesn't want to hear it, and blows his son off, demanding that he doesn't get involved in wrestling. There is a scene in a later draft where Vince is exiled to Bangor, Maine to be the local promoter and is blown away after witnessing Led Zeppelin live in the building, realizing the lesson of how important lighting, music, etc. are to changing the pro wrestling presentation.
Okay, Led Zeppelin, there you go.
This is fantastic stuff, okay? Just from, like, out of left field kind of ridiculousness. And, I mean, I don't know if this is actually going to make it. I think they're still going to go through another draft. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I think we're all going to roll our eyes about. And that, this is the tough thing when you do a movie like this, is that it's Vince's life story. So he's going to have a say in this. And, you know, he's going to have their own spin on it. And there's going to be some stuff that I'm sure they're going to say does not put him in a good light. But there's going to be plenty of other things that are going to be told in a way that they didn't actually happen.
Well, and that's the problem right there is Vince McMahon is still alive. And not that I'm saying the problem is he's alive. The problem is they're making this movie while he has an executive order over this, essentially, where he has the potential to change the direction, to change the story, and put his own spin on it. And you can never get a biopic that is accurate when you have somebody who is an impartial source, being themselves, sitting there meddling. And we know that Vince McMahon has an ego. We know that he has an inflated view of himself and his own opinion. So I just worry that we're going to get something that comes across as kind of half-assed trash, and in no way is not either accurate nor is it entertaining. And it does feel like they're definitely veering more towards the entertaining side of making a movie and less of the let's make it accurate, which is fine. That could still be good, but it almost feels too soon. It does not feel like it is going to be the Lincoln, if you will, of professional wrestling biopics.
Here's the thing, too, when it comes to this. I don't know how they're going to make his life into a movie, considering everything that his life encompasses. This feels to me like it should be an HBO or a Netflix series.
Okay.
Because then this could go on. I mean, if it's a hit, it can go on for a long time. I mean, this could be a big series.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's the next avenue. We have a women's show or a show about women's wrestling in GLOW coming to Netflix pretty soon. And I think the next big medium pro wrestling is going to conquer is going to be television. Not that I know that sounds stupid, right? They're already on television. But I think you've seen like the headlocked comics kind of gain in popularity over the years. I think we have all of these things where pro wrestling is now, I'm not going to say it's revered, but it is put on a pedestal for being a dramatic storytelling and art form. And not that everybody loves it, not that everybody thinks it's Shakespeare, but people recognize it for what it is now, what the merit brings to the table. So I think there is a place where we can take pro wrestling and give it a drama on maybe HBO that is really interesting and capture elements of the business without having to pretend like it's Vince McMahon's legitimate life, you know?
Here's the question I have, okay? And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot about this.
Okay, okay.
Who plays Vince McMahon?
Oh, wow. Vince Vaughn.
Oh.
Vince Vaughn.
He plays like the younger or up to like 50 Vince McMahon, maybe?
Vince Vaughn plays the Attitude Era Vince McMahon.
Hmm. He's got to put on some muscle.
I mean, I'm not saying that because they both have the name Vince, but I'm just saying he's got that look. He's got that, he could nail that demeanor. And I'm thinking, of course, of Vince Vaughn's spin on True Detective, the last season he was on there.
Now, wait a second.
A more serious, edgy role.
But Vince Vaughn got panned for that role.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yes, yes.
The writing was terrible, but Vince did a fine job.
Yeah, well, it was the writing that was bad for it. They didn't really capture the character, but yeah. How much weight would Vince Vaughn have to put on to play that role? How much muscle?
5 months mass? Yeah, that's... It would have to be quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean... Got to find somebody that you could say, well, we should get the A-list actor to go on here. But what you're going to end up with is going to be somebody who's not at the top of the card, but somebody who is a popular actor that wants to cut out more of a dramatic niche. You're not going to get Robert De Niro, or you're not going to get a big name like that playing Vince McMahon. But you will get somebody just under them who wants to have a more dramatic role and do something different and interesting. They will take this role. That's why I think Vince Vaughn is a good fit for that. Who do you think?
I couldn't even think of anybody, but it's funny you say De Niro because I think De Niro could play Vince Sr.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I could buy that.
We're putting together a cast here, man. A dream cast.
Okay. Who's going to play? So you don't have a pick for Vince?
No, I have to think about that. Yeah.
Who's going
to
play Linda?
Oh, you know who could play Vince? Oh, what's that actor's name? I got to look it up now. What's that dude's name? Okay, you remember the HBO show Vinyl?
David Arquette. David Arquette.
No. The guy that starred in the HBO series Vinyl, Bobby Cannavale.
I don't even know who that is.
He played the lead in the HBO show Vinyl, and he's been in some other shows as well.
Yeah, you said that like three times. I've not watched that show.
Well, maybe you should
watch
the show.
I have no idea who that is. maybe I will find some free time when I'm not driving and doing Between the Ropes and drinking a beer at the same time. I mean, I'm not drinking a beer because I'm driving.
You're not. Yeah, you're not drinking. By the way, Bobby Cannavale has been in Mr. Robot. He was in Ant-Man. He was in Nurse Jackie.
Who was he in Ant-Man?
In Ant-Man, he was Paxton. He played.
Okay.
He was in Boardwalk Empire. He was in a whole series of that. He was like a main character for a season. And he's just had bit roles in a bunch of other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. We're going to have wrestlers as part of this movie.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to have maybe not actual legitimate wrestlers, you might, but you're going to have wrestlers as characters in this movie. Who plays Hulk Hogan?
That's a good question.
You reckon Hogan gets in and he says, "You know what, guys? I think, brother, I can play this role. Let me do it."
No, because you can't move around good enough for it.
I was kidding.
Well, I mean, the other roles you got to figure out are, okay, so like you said, who plays Linda? Who plays Shane? Who plays Stephanie? Who plays Pat Patterson? Who plays Gorilla Monsoon?
Okay.
Maybe we need to throw this out to the audience and revisit this.
Build a cast. But you always know this is a fantasy book. This week we're going to fantasy cast the entire movie.
Why not?
Send your suggestions to #AskBTR, btrmailbag@gmail.com.
I'm telling you, when I send you a picture of Bobby Cannavale, you're going to be like, yes, that's Vince.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't poo-poo the idea when you don't even know what the dude looks like.
Yeah, well, I have a mental image. I'm good. I can imagine him. He's in my mind's eye right now.
I'm telling you, man, he'd work for the role. He'd work really good. God. Just shooting down my ideas. I'm coming up with gold over here. I'm fighting through a cold right now, maybe bronchitis. I've got a death cough over here, and you won't even like buy into my ideas halfway.
Hashtag warrior, right? That's what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Hashtag warrior.
Okay, let's talk about Raw and SmackDown for this week. So,
if you do have suggestions, listen, I would love to hear some people send us ideas in for who could be cast in this movie. I think it's fascinating. So send us in, btrmailbag@gmail.com.
And send us, I want to know what period of wrestling, if they only did like a certain 10-year period that they would cover of Vince's life for this movie, what 10 years would you want covered?
Okay.
I
the
know
first 10 years of his life.
I don't think those are very exciting. He didn't even meet his dad until he was 12, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I think that could kind of be hard to sell a wrestling movie when he's hasn't even met his dad who's involved in it.
So if Vince McMahon is getting a biopic made on his life at this juncture, can we assume that in 30, 40 years, Tracy Myers, the guy who put together WrestleCade and America's Most Like Wrestling, could he have a biopic made about his life in 30 to 40 years?
It depends on where WrestleCade goes between now and then, but possibly.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's big. America's Most Liked. It's in the name, Brian. America's Most Liked.
There was also a tag team known as America's Most Wanted at one point. I don't know if they really were, but...
Somebody should have turned them into the FBI. There was probably a reward out on them.
How is nobody taking that for the name of a TV show? America's Most Liked. Now, mind you, CBS uses it. Which network is it? Is it? ABC is America's Most Liked network, and CBS is America's Most Watched network.
Most watched, yeah. They're the most watched one.
Jeez.
What is this? America's Most Liked is like the opposite of America's Most Wanted. Instead of going around and trying to help people find the criminals of the world, they're saying, look at these great Samaritans. Look at all the good work they've done.
It's like the cops that pull people over it, and somebody thinks they're going to get a ticket, and the cop goes, great driving today. Here's a cookie. You know?
That's terrifying. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's happened before in some small communities. They do that. Speaking of things that are terrifying, Payback is coming up on Sunday. Oh, wait.
Oh, I see what you did there. House of Horrors.
Yes.
Match.
The House of
House
Horrors.
Of Horrors match.
Or as Don Weston call it, a House of Horrors match.
Oh, God.
It's the joke that never ends. I love it.
Oh, man.
So. Explain what you think a House of Horrors match is going to be. Randy Orton doesn't even know what this match is.
Yeah, well, that's good. Sign up for a match and you don't know what it is. That's always a good idea. I would envision that. Have you ever seen The Munsters?
Yes, I have.
You know the Munsters, right? Like back in the day, the Munsters.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would imagine they're going to build a replica of the Munsters' house around the ring come Sunday, and various members of the Munsters will be in the ring.
Okay.
That's a good guess, right?
No. I don't think so.
Here's what I'm actually envisioning. Punjabi Prison version 2. That's what's going to happen.
No, I don't think gender is supposed to be involved in this match.
I guess
from TV, it sounds like they're going to pre-record the part of the match where they are actually in the House of Horrors. And I guess you have to make your way through the house and they'll end up fighting their way either to the building or to the ring. And then it'll just be like a normal match.
That's dumb.
Well, yeah, man. Well, this is this case of, hey, let's do a match, but we don't know what the match is going to include. It's like doing a storyline and not having like an ending to it, which
they do all the time. They do that all the time.
Dude, they've done plenty. Look at the Black Scorpion from back in the day. Okay. The Black Scorpion keeps attacking Sting. Who is the Black Scorpion? And they had no idea who was going to be it. Finally, Ric Flair said, I'll do it, but as long as I can be the booker again. And they let him be the booker again. Because Ole Anderson had this great idea of the Black Scorpion, but didn't know who was going to play the role of the Black Scorpion.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
that's good. Classic wrestling.
It is, man. And, I mean, it's going to be weird. It's probably going to be pretty wacky. And we'll see exactly where they go with this. But I think in the end, we're going to be underwhelmed from the standpoint of, I think it's going to be pre-recorded, like a big chunk of it. And they're going to go through this haunted mansion or whatever. And remember, isn't the show in San Jose? So they have there's that one big haunted house that's there. And I wonder if they're going to film it there. So, you know, they're going to do something like that. And then, you know, it's going to be like, is Randy traumatized or could he fight his way through the House of Horrors and not be stricken mentally or whatever? And Bray's going to be laughing about the whole thing. And Randy's going to be like, something's going to be in his head. And then, you know, Bray will be beating them down and laughing about it. And Randy will overcome it. And then the question will be who actually wins, because it looks like Randy's championship title is not on the line in this match.
What the hell? How is that even possible?
Dude, they have doubt.
Why would it not be on the line?
Because he's on a different brand now, or Bray's on a different brand. So they have downplayed that, and it looks like the championship is not up for grabs in this match, which is extremely strange, I know.
So does Bray Wyatt never get his rematch? He literally won the championship, had it for a month, and he never gets a rematch.
Stop looking too much at the specifics, Michael. How dare you? Okay?
Does Finn ever get his rematch? What?
How dare you?
Where are the
rematches?
This is a clause. It's a contract. It's got to be a rematch.
You mean like what they just did with Bray, where a couple weeks ago he was barking at Finn? And then he showed up on Monday and he beat up Dean. So they've already moved on from the Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt potential feud after Sunday. And it's going to be Ambrose against Wyatt, it looks like. And then maybe Finn Balor against The Miz.
I'm just glad we moved over Dean Ambrose, The Miz, and Bray Wyatt. So we can have them interact and feud with each other the same way they did on SmackDown over on Raw. This has been great.
That was a great move, man. Yeah. So does Jinder Mahal get involved in this match, even though it's supposed to be, even though he shouldn't technically get involved, as we know, and it's a Raw pay-per-view featuring the SmackDown champion, but does Jinder Mahal find a way into getting involved in this show?
I don't think so. I think they'll keep him away.
I wouldn't.
You could do something with that, but yeah. I think they'll keep him away.
What if Bray wins the match because Jinder costs Randy? Because it's not for the title.
Mm. But you said that the title's on the line, right?
No, the title is not
so
on
Bray
the line.
Bray wins the match.
The title is not
Bray
on
wins
line.
The match. Okay. Yeah, they could do that.
Because otherwise, Bray's going to lose again.
Right. I mean, that's the problem. The problem is you've had Bray lose. You gave him a championship out of nowhere, And Bray Wyatt needs wins, and you're not giving him anything. So that would be a way to handle it. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that they want to blend these storylines. They just like doing X, Y, and Z storylines at the same time rather than having them overlap in meaningful ways. So I doubt it, but you could be right. Never say never.
I know I'm jumping ahead talking about Payback, but let's talk about some other stuff, and then at the end we'll give some predictions for Payback coming up here. Let's talk a little bit about Jinder Mahal because I brought him up. So Jinder, they're trying to put him in a stronger position. We saw him win the six-pack challenge, you know, 2 weeks ago on SmackDown. So he wins the match, uh-huh. Becomes the number one contender on SmackDown. This week, Randy beats Eric Rowan, and afterwards Jinder confronts him, yells at him, and says, oh, you don't like me because of you're not for diversity and you're not for this and that. And he says accused Orton of disrespecting him because he fears diversity and tolerance. And in the end, the Bollywood boys, known as the Singh brothers, jump Randy and join with Jinder. They beat him down. Jinder hits him with his Cobra Clutch Slam, takes the championship, and walks out. So part of what they're doing with this storyline, and I know people will talk about, and we've talked about too, when it comes to Jinder, is how we went from basically a jobber 1 week to the top heel on brand the following week, which is extremely difficult to do, I think. I understand they need more heels and whatnot, but it looks like there's a couple of reasons why they're doing this. And it's not just because they needed another heel, but because WWE is looking to expand into India. So, hey, right. We've got some Indian guys on the roster, and let's utilize them in a bigger role. I don't blame them for doing that, but I'll go back to the adage of it's just too much too soon rather than building these guys up and putting them in a position. And I'm not the biggest fan of kowtowing to a market to push somebody. Like, it's fine if you've got a star from that country and you want to put them in a better spot that they've been in. Okay, but to just jump them up out of nowhere from a position, it's really strange. You know, like I said, I understand why they're doing it, you know, but it just feels wrong, and it feels like it could be set up for failure. Now, we'll see where it goes. So far, it hasn't been too bad. It hasn't been great, but it hasn't been too bad. So I can't really complain about it too much. We'll see where it goes, but I'm just not the biggest fan of that. And then the other thing is, in this day and age, to do a storyline like this where they're talking about diversity and tolerance, and I understand it's an educated audience, but they're doing it in the way that it feels like an 80s storyline of let's pit the foreigner against the guy from USA.
Right. Well, and that's where the issue is in my mind. You're going to build up a new star to target a new market, and the guy you're building up is bad because he's from that market. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
I can jump on board with the whole classist idea that Jinder Mahal thinks he's better than everybody else because a heel should. And so for him to think he's better than everybody else, that he's got some level of royalty and that gives him the edge and everybody else is inferior to him as a result, that's fine with me. Heels should be smug. They should be arrogant. But to make him a villain simply because he has a different color skin and then he talks in a different language really drives me crazy. And we joked about it some last week, but I think the merits of it don't outweigh the harm that it's doing to the image of the WWE and to that market. Yeah, like you said, it feels very old school. I am not a big fan either of the way they kind of shoehorned him into this position. You know, it's the thing that happens sometimes. I think very few guys can get away with it long term. Brock Lesnar was one of those examples of a guy that he jumped in. He was a star from the get-go. Right. But I love the classic build where you have to win the mid-card championship and work your way up before becoming the main guy. It feels very much like a true sport. It feels very old school. You know, WWE has different ideas around it. My concern is this. They're going to build him up for a month and they're going to drop him back down to nothing. And so that's where you start running into issues where the builds and push and pulls don't mean anything. And they've done that so many times over the last decade that you have guys who have been world champions who are now insignificant. Case in point, Jack Swagger. So consistency with the build is the most important thing. And when you shoehorn them into positions like this, you don't get that consistent build, and it creates a problem.
And I totally agree with you when it comes to this guy is a villain simply because he is a different race. His skin is a different color. He's from a foreign country that's, you know, you want to stereotype it in a way that, you know, American citizens should not like a person like this necessarily, which is
right,
which is just the wrong way to frame it. I mean, if he has done something dastardly, if he's done something in a heelish manner, no matter what the color of his skin is, his nationality, his race, anything like that, then okay, fine. Then he's positioned as a heel. But to just assume, hey, look at this guy, he's Indian. You know, he's from a foreign country, he's from another place, you know, and when I talk about like America, you know, has problems with people from a country or whatever. Number one, you have to judge each person on their own merits. And two, I know the United States doesn't have a problem with India, but at the same time, I think some people will immediately say, well, he's wearing a turban, and people automatically get the idea of, well, oh, that looks like a guy from the Middle East. You know, that will be some of the assumptions from some people would just jump to that conclusion immediately. And that's where the problem is that we pulled down, you know, the curtain on this in so many different ways to where we want to talk about, you know, more educated storylines for a more educated audience. That's fine. You can make Jinder Mahal into a heel and do it the way that you said. Like, if you want to do it on Class or I'm Smarter Than You or whatever, but to simply fall into this trap of, oh, well, he's a different color and he's from over there somewhere, so I don't like him. I mean, there's plenty of people that here in the United States that look like Jinder Mahal. There's plenty of people around the world that look like Jinder Mahal, and they're good people. And to immediately categorize them as a heel, there just needs to be more to it. It can't just be on this simple basis of, I need a little bit more into the character development of this guy because I don't want to fall into that classic stereotypical angle that worked in the 80s. But at the same time, we're in a different age. You know, when we talk about being PC and a culture and this is PG programming and just how wrestling is different from then. I mean, there's a lot of storylines that in the 80s you just wouldn't do now just because the culture has changed so much.
Well, and you talk about, you mentioned that we have a smarter fan base, right? Wrestling fans know more about the business. They know the storylines are not real, et cetera, et cetera. But you also have a smarter society. And what I mean by that is you have people who are more knowledgeable about diversity, about people from different cultures. And so part of that responsibility about having a smarter audience is not treating them like they're idiots when it comes to your depth of characters. We've talked for years about how characters are not developed well enough, how storylines are very surface level. And this is one of those problems. They lean into a crutch, like race, like somebody being different, to make him a bad guy. When the audience craves, I want to know what makes him tick, because we have so many villains nowadays who are shades of gray, who are somewhat good, somewhat bad. This is just, it feels old school in all the wrong ways, especially whenever you kind of have the kind of rhetoric and heated political environment and climate that we have here in America today. So I'm not a big fan of the direction they're heading. On the other hand, I think Jinder Mahal has done quite a bit with the spot he's been put into. So I think he deserves some credit. And I think SmackDown also deserves credit for trying something different, even if it is at the behest of, you know, them moving into a new market.
Right. And I know people will say, like, well, it's working. He's getting boos. But I don't know if it's sustained heat. It's just like, is it, oh, we don't like this guy because he looks different, which is kind of the way that they're framing it? Or is it, we don't like this guy because this dude was a jobber, and then all of a sudden now he has been put in this, you know, position where he's the number one contender. And that's kind of the way that, and you want to put a guy in a position, and I'll always say this, where he can succeed, where he can work the best. And I don't know if they're doing that with him right now, because this just might be, it might be something that isn't sustainable. And we'll see. We'll see. We got to let it play out. I do agree with you, though, that, hey, man, Jinder's been put in this role. He's trying to make the most of it. And so far, he's done fine. You know, and if they can make him a star out of this, they can make him into a top heel, then good for them and good for Jinder.
Yep.
I guess the other thing that really stood out this week when we talk about the negatives or storylines that I'm not a fan of, and this is a little bit of an old school idea as well, I guess, is what they did with Roman Reigns on Monday. And then I didn't expect Roman to be there. I guess he actually was there in the building, but they didn't have him appear on camera. But they referred to this article that WWE did on their website where they were talking about what a tough time it's been for Roman, obviously, because he suffered the loss of his brother, Matt, Rosie. And in this article, and they talked about part of this on TV, there's a quote from Roman Reigns in here, which in today's day and age, why would you go there with this? Because like I said, they pulled down the curtain. We understand this when it comes to, hey, this guy really lost his brother, and it's got to be just a traumatic mm-hmm. time for him. But then they mixed in storyline because they have this quote where it says, physically, I'm as beat up as I am emotionally. This has been two of the roughest weeks of my professional career in life. I've never experienced a loss this close since my only blood brother, but I've also never experienced a beatdown like Braun Strowman gave me. It's unfortunate because whatever point he's trying to get across, he's handling it the wrong way. I'm like, I just don't like that idea. I mean, if you want to talk about the loss of his brother and what a tough time it is, that's fine. But just don't mix it in the storyline of he got beat up by Braun Strowman, which is a total work. And that's right. That's part of the entertainment aspect. And the loss of his brother is as real as life gets.
To equate them to being the same thing is where it kind of bothers me a little bit, because there had to have been an awkward moment where they were like, this is what we're saying. Is this cool? Is this okay? Is this too much? And I think you talk about emotional loss versus taking a few wrestling, you know, what we know as is wrestling bumps, but the way they portray it on screen is very different. I struggle with that a little bit too. I don't think maybe quite as much as you do. I'm not quite as opposed to it. They should have made Roman Reigns, he's already feeling down because of his brother's death, and he also has this on top of it. They're just kind of separate ideas, I think.
I think they're separate. And, I mean, is it the worst thing he could do? No, of course not. I think we've advanced past that as well. That's something else where it's just like, hey, you know what? The guy's grieving because of the loss of his brother, and he's still trying to fight through it. He's trying to do his job. And I understand they've got a pay-per-view coming up, and, you know, business moves on. But I just think there's a better way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think this Roman Reigns situation is a little bit different, too, because, listen, we can't put him on TV right now because he could get the power boot out of him. They are trying so hard to protect Roman, and to what it feels like to me, and I think this is where I really struggle, is they're using this to try to make Roman more sympathetic. And because Roman has not been well received, to me it feels cheap. It feels like a cheap ploy in a way to manipulate our emotions. Oh, look, his brother died. Don't you feel bad for him now? Won't you please stop booing him? That's how it comes across.
So on Monday during Raw, they did this dumpster match with Braun Strowman and Kalisto. Were you surprised that Braun Strowman did not jump out of the dumpster at one point?
That would have been pretty good.
I was waiting for it the entire time, man. I was waiting for like Braun to like look in the dumpster, and he doesn't see anything there, so he closes the lids, and then during the match, out of nowhere, Roman Reigns jumps out, you know?
Yeah.
I totally thought, I mean, it was going to be like an Undertaker casket match, you know? But they didn't do it. Not only did they not do it, they did this weird match with Kalisto where they kept the top open, and at one point, Kalisto knocks Strowman off the apron, and he lands in the dumpster. Like, just like almost hops in there, and he's on his feet. So he loses the match, and then he goes on to beat up Kalisto, where he puts him into the dumpster, puts it on the top of the stage, and he fastens it down, and then he like rolls it off the stage. It falls the maybe 3 feet off the stage and just tips on its side, and which looked like absolutely nothing, considering that he damn near killed Roman Reigns just a couple of weeks ago. And when compared to that, Kalisto probably needs like a Flintstones Band-Aid for his boo-boo that he got from falling that far.
A Flintstones Band-Aid, a Flintstones vitamin, and a Flintstones gummy. I here's the thing. You want Roman Reigns to come into here and maybe have one half a chance of being the baby face. Him popping out of the dumpster would have been a great pop because people would have been surprised. They would have liked it. Bigger issue here, though, Braun Strowman was booked to look like a complete moron. He just kind of popped down in that dumpster. Oh, well. And I don't know why they felt the need to give Kalisto a win here when Braun Strowman benefited from beating the crap out of Kalisto and then beating the crap out of him some more in the back or whatever. Instead, he loses, and then he rage attacks and pushes his dumpster. I think the segment was okay overall. I think the biggest issue here was the loss. Why did you need to give Braun Strowman that loss on Monday night?
I don't get it either. I mean, if the dude's a monster, let him win the match and let him just destroy Kalisto. That's what we all wanted to see. Let him destroy the guy.
Right. Right. Yeah, because Kalisto got a lot of offense in this match.
I mean, it's not the whole... Well, this is not one of those wins and losses argument because, I mean, come on. Does Kalisto really need a win here? No. No. I mean, does it really hurt Braun Strowman that he lost his dumpster match because he got knocked off the apron and he landed in the dumpster on his feet? No. But at the same time, the whole thing is just kind of dumb. Like, just...
Right.
I mean, Kalisto gets nothing out of it. When am I going to go like, oh, you know what? I remember that time. I'm looking up in the record books. Kalisto beat Braun Strowman in a dumpster match. That must have been one impressive thing to do. I'm like, come on.
He'll be in the Vince McMahon. He'll be in the Vince McMahon document or biopic. It'll be Vince McMahon scouting for him in rural Mexico, looking for the most talented luchador that he can find. And he walks into a bar. He gets thrown in. No. I got it. Vince McMahon, played by Vince Vaughn, gets thrown into a Mexican prison, and that's where he meets Kalisto.
Kalisto good, will right? be playing the role of Mil Máscaras, actually.
Oh, okay.
Either that or
who plays Kalisto, though? Oh. So if he's playing the role of Mil Máscaras, who's actually the actor playing him?
Hornswoggle.
Oh.
That's just mean.
Well, he's Vince McMahon's son in the movie, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
He is his son, right? And so is Mick Foley. Because remember, Mick Foley at one point referred to him as dad, you know, so.
Right. Oh man.
Yeah. Let's talk, you could really tell right now when it comes to Raw and SmackDown. We've discussed this last week a little bit. So WWE is in their post-Mania lull. They're really in the lull right now. They're like kind of they did the superstar shakeup and they had a couple guys get brought up from NXT. So like everything's kind of being pieced together right now. We'll see where it goes. I still think they shouldn't have turned AJ Styles. And I think the best thing they could have done there is if they would have just had the club join or been moved over from Raw to SmackDown, and they could have reunited the club together with Gallows, Anderson, and Styles, and that would have kept AJ more as a heel because I know he was getting cheers, and that would have solved a lot of things, I think, right there. But they decided not to do that.
So let me do two things.
Sure.
I think it was fine they turned him face. I like that. It was cool. It was good timing. It happened naturally, which doesn't happen very often in wrestling these days. But on the other hand, the club would have been pretty badass on SmackDown. So both sides, I think, you know, that's cool. I'm okay with it, though.
Well, that would allow them to go after Cena again, too. The beat up John Cena thing could have come back, which I'm all for.
That was the best thing on wrestling television in the last 10 years.
Probably. Yeah, man. Between that and Scott Steiner coming back to Impact Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that was my second favorite thing that's happened on wrestling in the last 10 years.
Oh, man, that was a jump ahead.
That was a good segue. I like that.
Well, Raw and SmackDown, I mean, I don't think there's... Raw was just... It felt like a bad show because it was the go-home show for a pay-per-view and not that much really happened. SmackDown was fine, but nothing really... They're still kind of finding their way in there. I mean, you've got Shinsuke on the show, gets cut off by Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph is talking over top of him until the end where Shinsuke calls him a jackass and give him a suplex, you know, and chase Ziggler out of the ring. They did the beat the clock challenge with the four tag teams where Breezango is now the number one contenders, which... Hey, man,
yeah.
I'm all for it because I think Breezango is actually a pretty good team, but this is another one of those where when was the last time we even saw Breezango on TV, and then now they're the number one contenders, okay?
Right.
So if I want to complain about that for Jinder Mahal, I have to complain about it here, too, with Breezango, even though it's a little bit different when you talk about the depth of the tag team division, which is totally different. By the way, why do you think they're calling Shinsuke Nakamura the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura?
I think somebody in creative got it in their heads that was a really cool way to bill somebody. So they have been playing up the whole artistic aspect of Shinsuke Nakamura quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced that means anything greater than that, though.
I think it's going to be one of those things, like, for a little while there, they had that, what was the nickname they were calling AJ Styles? Was he the Pitbull or something like that?
I don't remember.
Or whatever it was. And then, like, they dropped it after
the Phenomenal?
No, I mean, he's always had that. He still does, but they had some.
The face that runs the place?
No, they still were using that one, too. But they had some other nickname.
The Spot Monkey? Was it the Spot Monkey?
No, I don't think it was the Spot Monkey. I don't think we're going to see that term pop up in WWE. Hey, you know what? Let's go there real quick, okay? So, Matt Hardy has been doing some of the broken Matt mannerisms. And we've seen.
Right.
And we saw a few more this past week. And we're seeing him make a lot more references to the character on Twitter. And there are
right.
I can't remember what site it was, but it wasn't like one of the main sites. So I'm not even going to give it, you know, the credit for this. I honestly can't even remember where the hell it was. So maybe if they are right, I'll give them credit down the line. But there's some rumblings that the reason why this is happening is because some kind of settlement has been worked out, and WWE or the Hardys now own the right to the broken characters. And we are going to see Broken Matt and Brother Nero show up in WWE sooner than we expected.
Huh. I'm curious how they're going to do that because of the fact they've had them come back in a non-weird way.
Oh, I got it.
And you get these references, but okay.
So
go.
What's going to happen is they're going to lose the tag team titles at some point, and it will be a horrific thing that will shatter Matt in half emotionally. And he will turn to the broken character.
Do we get both him and Brother Nero, though?
Yes, I think we do.
Okay.
I think we do at first. I don't know if Brother Nero is going to stay that way for the long haul, but I think Matt Hardy will be Broken Matt for a while.
Now, yeah, I feel like Jeff Hardy has got another babyface run in him with the company, so we'll see, as far as a singles wrestler, so we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I want to see what the characters do. I think for now they want to keep them together just because, there's a couple reasons why. Number one is merchandise. I think they could sell a lot of merch with those two guys right off the bat by keeping them together.
I'm sure they have already. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and just keeping them together as a tag team, let them get used to the schedule a little bit more, and that way they're not taking an abundance of bumps right off the bat. And then when that time comes, they can split them up. And, you know, Matt will still be in a solid role. And I think Jeff, they'll put it into a main event role. You know, I think they still see him in that manner. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up switching brands.
Jeff, you mean, or Matt?
One or the other. I think if they do break up that tag team or whenever that might happen, I think that could be something where they end up being on different brands.
Mm-hmm. What if they put Jeff Hardy on SmackDown and CM Punk came back and they finally resumed their feud from all those years ago?
Well, CM Punk's now doing a reality show, so he doesn't have time for this wrestling business.
He's doing a reality show? What?
You don't know about this?
No. What is this? Hold on.
I'm bringing it up.
Are you making stuff up? You're just making news up.
No,
aren't
he's
you?
On.
This
he's,
is true.
He's taking part in MTV's The Challenge reality competition show.
Oh.
You didn't know about this?
Nope, I did not.
Yes, well,
I don't read the wrestling news.
Hold on.
You tell me news,
it's
that's
called,
how I find out about
the
it.
The show is MTV's The Challenge, Champs versus Pros. CM Punk and 9 other well-known pro sports figures will go head-to-head with former winners of MTV shows Road Rules and Real World in athletic competitions. The other pro athletes competing are Olympian Lolo Jones, snowboarder Lindsay Jacob Ellis, former NFL linebacker Sean Merriman, who back in the day had a serious beef with CM Punk, but it looks like they've squashed it, and former WNBA player Candace Wiggins are all part of this.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Each athlete has a chance to win $50,000 for a charity of their choosing. CM Punk is competing for Paws Chicago, a no-kill animal shelter. The show premieres May 16th.
Huh. Well, there you go.
It's the first step for a comeback. or not.
He's one of the bigger names on there. I mean, that's like...
Well, him and Lolo Jones are probably the biggest names.
Yeah. It concerns me a little bit for CM Punk's sake that this is what he's doing now, that he's on MTV reality shows.
Mm.
This feels like one step below Dancing with the Stars.
Mm.
And I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not convinced it's a good move.
Well, considering he's doing it for charity, I think it's a fine move.
Okay, well, fine, yes. Okay.
And you're a
because
son of a
doing
bitch
it for charity,
for
it's
that.
A good thing.
You're a son of a bitch, okay?
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, wow. Wow.
I had to call you on that one.
I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm shutting my mouth.
It's a bad move that somebody does something for charity.
Yeah, you're right.
Michael
I
Wiseman.
I hate animals.
Michael Wiseman hates charities.
Oh, God.
Let's give some predictions for Payback.
Okay.
So this
it's going to be a mediocre show because it's been a mediocre build, and they're basically overlooking the entire thing. Go on.
There's actually a couple matches I think could be really good on here. There's three matches. I'm never going to say Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt will be a good match because I said that for WrestleMania, and it was a horrible match.
It was weird.
And I'm not blaming the guys. It was the weird spin that they put on the match, and they're going to do that here as well. So on the pre-show, they're going to do Enzo and Big Cass against Gallows and Anderson again. And Enzo Amore is going to get thrown around like a rag doll again, which is his crux in life now. Do we even care who wins this? Or?
Nope.
I'm going to say
Enzo.
I'm going to say Enzo and Cass win it. So, by the way, they're doing Miz TV where the Miz's guest will be Finn Balor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Get with the times. I know you're working on the road, boy, but come on.
Is that part of the pre-show or is that part of the actual main card?
Pre-show.
I guess I'll watch the... Wait, why is the Miz in the pre-show?
Because he's a pre-show guy.
No. He gets moved to Raw and immediately he's bumped to the pre-show?
Yep.
This is shenanigans. I'm writing my congressman right now as we speak.
Tomfoolery! So here's the matches on the show. Kevin Owens against Chris Jericho for the United States Championship. And if Jericho wins, he will go to SmackDown.
Okay.
Kevin Owens has got to win.
Kevin Owens.
Jericho, I think Jericho's going to be on Raw on Monday, and then he will be leaving WWE to go work with his band Fozzy. Raw tag team titles, Cesaro and Sheamus against the Hardy Boys. Does Cesaro and Sheamus, do they turn heel?
No, I'm not going to say they're going to win it. I still think there's money left with the Hardy Boys, but I don't think they're going to do anything dramatic here. I think they're going to keep it even kilter.
I think the Hardys retained, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cesaro and Sheamus turned heel.
Okay, bold prediction for the win.
Well, they're doing that. They did that awkward, handshake on Monday, and there's got to be something going on there. Orton and Bray Wyatt in the House of Horrors match.
I mean, if the championship's not on the line, I guess Bray Wyatt's going to win. That's the only reason you would pull that championship from that match.
Yeah, I'll say Bray as well. Cruiserweight Championship, Neville against Austin Aries. I'm going to say Aries as well, yeah. Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Now, is Roman going to come out there acting like he's still injured, or is he going to come out there being 100%?
Well, you do want to ask a question right here. He's going to be playing up the injury, and he's going to lose the match as a result.
I think that would be the smart way to go here. I am not convinced, though, that he is going to be playing off that he's injured.
Okay.
I got a feeling they're going to say he's recovered. He's still, like... They'll say, like, he's still a little bit banged up, but I don't think he's going to be selling it.
Okay.
Which, yeah. And Braun should win this
Braun
match.
Braun Strowman wins, I think.
Raw Women's Championship, Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. Remember one thing when it comes to this match. This is taking place in San Jose, which is Bayley's hometown.
I was going to put money on Alexa Bliss. I'm still going to do it. I want to double down.
Well,
Alexa Bliss wins the match.
Well, typically, WWE loves people to lose in their hometown for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I will agree with
Alexa Bliss.
I'll say Alexa Bliss. that way Bayley can win it back later in the summer, and then it could be her and Sasha at SummerSlam. And then
right.
Seth Rollins against Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe?
Hmm. I'm going to...
Samoa Joe.
Okay. I will say... Yeah, I'll say Joe as well. And then I think Joe takes out Jericho on Monday.
So did we just predict all of the same people for all of those matches?
I think we did, man. That sucks.
Wow. That's a first.
I hate that.
Well, I hate you. Mm. There's your conflict.
Let's get to some questions here in just a minute. Let's talk about one other thing that happened this week. So, Marvel,
Scott Steiner.
We'll get to Scotty. We'll get to Big Papa Pump. Holla, if you hear me, in just a second. Let's talk about Mauro Ranallo. So,
okay.
Newsweek got the scoop. I guess they were working on a big story and about Mauro, and they ended up talking with WWE and talking with Mauro. Mauro gave them a statement that said, WWE and I have mutually agreed to part ways. It has nothing to do with JBL. JBL released a statement as well to them saying, admittedly, I took part in locker room pranks that existed within the industry years ago. WWE addressed my behavior and I responded accordingly. Yet my past is being brought up because of recent unfounded rumors. I apologize if anything I said playing, quote, the bad guy on a TV show was misconstrued. So Mauro is gone. His contract ends on August 12th. He is not allowed to do any professional wrestling while he's under WWE contract. He can work anywhere else that he wants. And he has already said that he expects to do professional wrestling once his contract with WWE expires. Yeah, I know. It's kind of this weird situation that I think there's two kind of sides to look at this. You can say, okay, he's, you know, he said what he has said about JBL, and there's been no concrete evidence necessarily that's come out, but there's been a lot of pointing in a direction of JBL is the one that set him off, where he went down into, depression. He went down that road, which he's dealt with his entire life because he is bipolar. So there's something saying, okay, he has decided just to move on. Maybe WWE gave him some money. Maybe it was just, hey, he doesn't want to deal with this. And he just wants to move on in his career because, you know, he doesn't want to have to deal with this anymore. And he doesn't want this to affect his career going forward. So there's still other things I think that need to be cleared up. I'm not going to say that JBL is evil, but I do think that he obviously, I think he played a bigger role in this. And I think this is a classic situation of, let's all just try to move on. Let's kind of sweep this under the rug and let's take a step forward, and everybody goes their own direction. I think that JBL has been told you cannot act this way and you have to be more careful on the air. And I think he definitely has been a lot more careful on the air. I think a lot of people thought when Byron Saxton got put on SmackDown that this situation hadn't gone down, that he would be all over Byron on that broadcast, and he hasn't been. He's been playing very nicely on TV. And, you know, it's a shame that Mauro's not going to be in WWE anymore. They're all moving on, and I think Mauro's going to be fine going forward. WWE's going to be doing what they're doing. It's just a shame the way everything went down, and we're not going to hear Mauro calling WWE anymore. But, you know, he's still going to have a great career going forward in broadcasting.
That's the loss right there. The loss is that Mauro doesn't get to do this job that he really wanted to do. He's a pro wrestling fan. It's a dream job situation. So he doesn't get to do that. And us as wrestling fans, we don't get to hear him on the call. I think that's what makes it sad. And, of course, the rumors and the situation surrounding the incidents, it is what it is at this point. We can't do anything to change it. If JBL is amending his behavior and he's changing it because somebody said you need to be better, that's a good thing, and that's progress. So it may not be, you know, people want to hang JBL out to dry. I am not convinced it is as dramatic as that either. It is possible that JBL was just hamming it up so much as a heel that he crossed too many lines. And I'm not convinced at all that JBL wanted Mauro to, number one, get fired, or number two, go into a depressive streak. I don't think that's the case, but he could have just been doing his thing and doing his shtick too much, and he crossed the line, especially with somebody who has bipolar disorder. So, you know, that being said, moving forward, it is what it is. Hopefully everybody's learned a lesson from this, and I think Mara will land on his feet.
Yeah, I agree with you when it comes to JBL, because we don't know the whole circumstances behind this. Is it just what was said on the TV show,
right,
or is there something more? Is there other instances that happened, and what exactly happened? And I'm not, you know, dismissing JBL entirely from this, but I don't think it's fair to push all the blame there. We don't know the true story about it. You know, it looks like something obviously happened there. If WWE learns from this, if JBL learns from this, that's about the best we can get out of the situation right now. And we hope that WWE can handle scenarios like this better in the future, to where they don't even happen. And people are just more understanding,
yeah, exactly,
of one another going forward. So hopefully, you know,
yep,
and you know, like I said, Mauro says he's going to be involved in wrestling. I think that once, now that Jim Ross is under contract with WWE, once his contract expires with Access TV, I think Mauro will be back calling New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access. And who knows what will happen after that. Maybe he'll get an opportunity to do some more work in New Japan. There's so many different independent wrestling groups that are out there that, you know, if somebody wants to go out and get Mauro Ranallo, they should. And there's a certain company, yep, that's still based out of Nashville, or you can say they're based out of Canada now, that if I was them, I would put on a hard sell to bring in Mauro Ranallo. But instead, they are doing an announcer feud, which now will have two announcers go against one another on a pay-per-view, where one of them will also be teaming with Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Welcome to WCW in 1999.
Oh, my God. Scott Steiner is back in TNA. Well, I can't call him TNA anymore. Impact Wrestling.
Like, are they going to... What are they... I don't understand their direction at all, and does Scott Steiner add value to that company in some way?
It's somebody that Jeff Jarrett is familiar with, and they thought it was a big name they could bring back for this match. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's a miss. That is what we call here in the biz, hashtag another damaged angle.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, and the other thing is, too, when you look at that... when you look at the way that they've set that whole thing up between Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash, it made it feel like, you know, Josh had said, well, I'll leave, you know, if we lose this match, because they did this team versus team match, right? Well, come to find out, he said he lied, and he's back on the broadcast. So he's back on the broadcast. So it's going to be Borash and Joseph Park, because he's no longer Abyss. Once again, Joseph Park and Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner. Man alive.
So weird.
And then
do you reckon Joseph Park will ever have a run in WWE? I mean, I imagine a feud between him and Bray Wyatt could be fun as Abyss versus Bray Wyatt, but I don't know.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Okay.
And by the way, so Decay is done. And one of the main reasons for that is because Crazy Steve is gone from Impact, and he is... likely headed to WWE. He's going to NXT, in fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's going to wait a couple of months. They want that separation between when he leaves there and when he goes to WWE. But he is apparently NXT bound.
Okay.
And there you go.
Interesting.
We'll get a little crazy.
There you go. Your news for the week.
I don't think he's going to be Crazy Steve when he's in NXT, but that's where he's going. That is where he's going.
Yeah.
So let's get to some questions. You can send your emails to us. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter using the hashtag AskBTR. And we also have questions up on Facebook as well. So since you're driving, Michael, I know this is normally where you handle this. I will do this for you so you can keep your eyes on the road, okay?
Okay. Do at least half as good of a job as I do. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, I'll try. Lincoln Jefferson, is WWE setting us up for Shane O'Mac versus Baron Corbin at SummerSlam?
Oh, it does feel that way, doesn't it?
Maybe. Well, by the way, Baron Corbin in storyline has been suspended 1 week for putting his hands on Sami Zayn, or on an official, because during the whole beatdown, he shoved an official very hard.
So do you think they're going to fight at SummerSlam? I think so. That sounds like a good prediction.
Oh,
let's go
God.
With it.
Do we really want that again?
Yeah, there you go. Done. Baron Corbin, Shane McMahon, SummerSlam.
I mean,
book it.
I'm going to say no, but you could be right. And nothing's going to surprise me. Let's see.
Yep.
Matt Ellis, do you guys think that certain characters in the WWE are being presented in a weak way? For example, do you think Jinder Mahal would be better received if he got the better of Randy Orton without the Bollywood Boys making the save? Or even if Mahal throwing the first punch at Randy Orton connecting instead of Orton just countering it? Could WWE make their heels or baby faces look stronger against their opponents so that it may be better received by the audience?
I think this is a heel problem that WWE has had for so long. They make their heels all out to be slimy, sneaky, and not legitimate competitors. Right? AJ Styles was a great heel because he was a legitimate competitor and he defended his championship. Kevin Owens, for a while, was a fighting champion. So I think you're spot on here, Matt. I think these guys need to be presented. Guys like The Miz get away with this, right? Guys like The Miz are slimy. Jericho there for a while. Sneaky. They cheat to win. But in general, your heels will be better if they're taken more seriously as competitors. And by proxy, your baby faces will look better too.
I agree. You know, there's different ways where I think if you make your characters or your talent look stronger, yeah, you could make Mahal look stronger if he just did it on his own. Now, they will say it's a classic heel maneuver because you've got 3-on-1. That gets more sympathy on the baby face, which I totally agree with. But at the same time, because they did that on SmackDown, on Raw, for whatever reason, in their main event, they had 2 baby faces against 1 heel.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, and not all of your heels, like, you're right, classic heel maneuver, but not all of your heels have to have that maneuver, right? Like, it is something you use, but your heels can be different for different reasons, and I think that's what it is. Where we put them in the heel camp, and all of a sudden, they all take on the exact same characteristics, and that's my beef with it.
Let's see, Felipe Gutierrez Hernandez. Greetings, my friends. Do you guys think there's any chance that Hideo Itami can get a better push now in NXT, or are they going all the way with Bobby versus Drew? Obviously, well, Hideo Itami's getting the next title shot against Bobby Roode, which will be at the NXT TakeOver show on May 20th in Chicago. I don't expect Hideo to win there. I mean, the biggest thing for Hideo is just keeping him healthy, and he'll be involved, you know, in the, you know, top matches, the top storylines in NXT as long as he can stay healthy. But I do think the goal is to get to Drew McIntyre against Bobby Roode, maybe around SummerSlam.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Hideo to get called up anytime soon to the main roster. I think he's still got some work to do down in NXT just to get him and his character to the place where WWE officials are happy again. Part of it's the injury bug set him back. He's not going to win in Chicago. I think he won't get a big push again until after SummerSlam, or maybe even until after Bobby Roode gets called up.
All right, so Francis sends us an email.
15 question, Francis.
Yes. Well, there's 5 here. He asked one on Facebook. We already answered the Facebook one. It was about Vince McMahon, the movie, who played Vince McMahon.
Pandemonium.
Pandemonium. Okay. I'm not going to ask all 5 of these. He asked, what are you thinking we'll see, who we will see at the next tapings on Impact? I have no idea, man.
Scott Steiner.
Meat? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Jim Neidhart? I don't know. I honestly don't know. When do you think we will see Stephanie return to WWE television?
SummerSlam. I think she'll come back right before SummerSlam. Yeah. If Kurt Angle's going to wrestle, she's going to come back in July, at the end of July.
Yeah, sometime in July makes a lot of sense. Is Jinder becoming like the new JBL when they made him champ? Just from the standpoint, you know.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, the limo was an obvious reference to that, right? But yeah, I feel like that's where they're going. I wish they would embrace that aspect more than the freaking race card, you know?
Well, do you think that, do you think Jinder's going to beat Randy Orton for the title?
Well, considering Rusev is demanding a title shot, it doesn't make any sense to put the championship on Jinder and then have him feud with Rusev. I think there is potential for Jinder to win, but I still think I would feel about 65-35 that Randy Orton's going to walk home with the championship.
And the last question, did Mike get the Marine 5?
I have not bought it yet. I've been traveling. I heard it was coming out this week. Maybe I'll buy it on digital tonight and watch it 3 times in my hotel room.
Jeez.
That's a good idea. I need to do that.
What is it, an hour 20 long?
We'll see here. An hour 20, 240. That would be 3 hours. That would be right at four hours
yeah.
long. Yeah, I can do that. 4 hours of The Miz. Well, that'd be awesome.
Well, Heath Slater is in that movie as well, okay?
So I'll just cut that part out. I'll edit him out of the movie, and then it will be even awesomer.
Come on, man. You want to see Heath Slater?
I mean, you know, he's got his potentials. I liked his Trailer Park gimmick, but I don't want to see him in my Marine movies. It's all about The Miz. That's all we need.
As we wrap up here, Mike,
uh-huh.
I feel like we talked about a lot of negative stuff here, and we need to end on a positive
sure.
note. So
okay.
give me something positive from wrestling from this past week.
Something positive about this past week?
Yeah, man.
Well, Brian, well, you go first. You go first.
Wow. Well, I will go for my boys Breezango because I think it is a case of perseverance where you're talking about two guys in Fandango and Tyler Breeze who have continued to work, have continued to make the most out of what they can do. We saw that at Access where they were even playing the roles from what's the fake wrestling promotion that WWE did the skits with and stuff?
Oh, Southpaw
yeah,
Wrestling.
Yeah, Southpaw Regional Wrestling. So they play that up. They're having as much fun as they can. They're taking advantage of opportunities being given. And WWE has seen this, and they're going to reward them with it. You know, they've made this team into, they're trying to make it into something, and now they're going to be utilized. You know, they're getting a number one, or they're getting a tag team title shot, and maybe they can do something more with them. I mean, both the guys can work. I think they're a good team. It's just, will you do something with them?
So I have two positives. I just got through rewatching Backlash circa 2002 on the WWE Network. The one that was Brock Lesnar's first match, he was fighting Jeff Hardy, and that culminated with Triple H versus Hulk Hogan for the Undisputed Championship. So my positive here is we have the WWE Network, and it is fantastic and amazing, and I'm glad I have this thing in my life that I can watch classic wrestling, or even wrestling from 15 years ago, at the click of a button. That is awesome. Here's my second positive
okay.
from this past week. Charlotte being the first woman ever to main event Hell in a Cell, Raw, and SmackDown. That's awesome.
That is great. I don't like
history
that.
Making.
I don't like that they're turning her babyface one bit, but I like that they put her and they put the women in a much better position than in the past.
The women's division on the whole makes me happy. And then Charlotte's been a big push for that. So, you know, that makes me happy. Also, not to do with wrestling on TV, but our subscriber numbers on YouTube have been going up. So that makes me happy as well.
Absolutely. By the way, when you talk about Backlash 2002, do you know that the next to last match on that show, they wanted a tweener match, okay? Because the Undertaker beat Stone Cold Steve Austin on that match, okay? Or on that show. And the main
right.
event was Hulk
yes.
Hogan defeating Triple H for the Undisputed
right.
WWE Championship. So they won a tweener
uh-huh.
match.
I watched it from bottom to top. I watched the whole thing up. Yep.
Do you remember what the tweener match was between those two big matches?
I just remember at one point Maven and Al Snow were out there, and I was like, huh, this is weird. This is curious. Huh.
Maven and Al Show, Al Snow lost to Billy and Chuck for the tag
yep.
team titles.
Yep.
And Billy and Chuck had Rico in their corner. They had Rico in their corner.
Yeah, Rico. God, I remember Rico. Yeah, I kind of watched part of that and then tuned it out. It was real bizarre. And I was like, huh, you know what happened? I Googled Maven and saw what he was doing these days. Apparently his life has been kind of weird since then, too.
It's been very, very weird since then. Very.
Speaking of Tough Enough, actually, did you hear that this week Tough Enough winner got cut from NXT?
And that is not true because Josh Brettle is still with the company.
Really?
Yeah, he did not get cut.
I heard that he was on... Oh,
that's
good.
That's one of those news sites that's out there. No, Josh, I don't even...
No. I heard it on... it was someplace legitimate, I thought. I don't want to name names.
They got bad information.
It was
information.
A bigger... That's, well, they could have.
They definitely got bad information. Josh is still there, and I believe Josh has not been wrestling for a while. I don't know if he's been cleared yet or not, but I know that he did get a bad concussion. So he could not wrestle for a while.
Gotcha.
But he is still there. Josh has not been cut. Huh. There was a couple other people that did get cut, but it was guys that I think have barely even been on TV. And I honestly don't have the list in front of me. There's one announcer, and there was a couple of other talents. But yeah, there was talk that Josh did, and he did not get cut. Not yet, at least.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's good.
I think, what's his name?
That's a good thing.
What's his name on there? Branson Matthews or something like that? I can't even remember now. I have to look it up.
I don't know. Yeah.
I bring it up, and damn it, now I got to look. Yeah, Bronson Matthews. God, how did I even know that?
Wow. Wow. Impressive.
Thank you.
Impressive.
I try every now and then. So, like Mike said, we appreciate everybody subscribing to us on YouTube. We've been doing more videos. We've been doing the podcast each week live, and we're planning to do some other videos as well. Unfortunately, we could not do it this week simply because Mike is on the road, and he's going to be on the road again next week. So it's probably not going to be a live video podcast again, but we're going to be doing the podcast. So if you could still subscribe to us on YouTube, I promise there's plenty of great stuff that's up there, and there's going to be a lot more coming up, and we plan on getting back on schedule here. And doing the podcast live on our YouTube channel every week. In the meantime, you can also subscribe to the audio version of the podcast in all the different places between iTunes and Stitcher and on Google Play. And we are on the TuneIn app, and you can find us on SoundCloud as well. Please rate and review the podcast. Give us all those stars that we love. Please give us some stars, and also feel free to review the podcast as well, and hopefully you'll give us a nice review. So we appreciate that from everybody. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Brian Fritz. Mike is at The Real Wiseman, and you can follow us as well at Between the Ropes, and you can also check out our Facebook page as well, which is at Between the Ropes. So thanks again, everybody. Mike, safe travels.
Thanks.
And luckily, that was the first time that Mike has read really bad static while being on his cell phone for this drive. But at least it happened right at the end.
I'm cutting out now. I'll see you later.
We're out of time. We got to go.
We got to go.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time right here Between the Ropes.